So perhaps the most important religious battle taking place outside of Syria right now is in Turkey, and is a battle that has challenged the country's president, Tayyip Erdogan, hosting some 2 million refugees already. He's consulting with the EU this week, seeking help in moving asylum candidates and sharing the refugee burden. But Russian jets now entering Turkish airspace to support the Syrian regime have drawn protests from Erdogan and a stern ultimatum from NATO. Turkey is a NATO member. There are religious tensions associated with the refugee crisis and Turkey's support for the Syrian opposition, and new violence in the longstanding conflict with Kurdish terrorists who see an opportunity to put President Erdogan on the defensive. In the middle of all this, at the end of the month, elections are scheduled, and the president needs his former party, the Justice and Development Party, the AKP, to win him a majority, which would give him room to maneuver in this multi-layered crisis. Elmira Barasli is an author and foreign policy analyst who's just returned from Istanbul. Elmira, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
So what's the feel there politically, and how much of a sense of religious tension, always an issue in Turkish politics, is going on the streets today?
Certainly, while I was in Turkey, people were very concerned about what's going to be happening on November 1. But I think that all summer, there's been a lot of tension in Turkey. Not so much really focused on the religion, but I think just democratically what's happening in Turkey. Turkey's economy has been stalled and it hasn't been growing. There's been a lot of tensions on the border, clearly with Syria. But over the summer, Turkey also relaunched its war with the Kurds, particularly with the Kurdistan Workers Party, the PKK, which is a terrorist organization. There's been a lot of violence. There's questions of whether that violence will spread out to the remainder of the country. And there's a lot of uncertainty among the Turkish people about what direction the country is going in.
When Erdogan was sort of on the political offensive, when he had power and was doing all sorts of things unilaterally that produced political tensions within the country, it seemed that he wanted to position himself as a regional leader facing Syria. But now he's got himself a refugee crisis and more traditional violence. His attempt to newly identify Turkey as a regional leader has resulted in all the old identities of Turkey that he was trying to get away from. How ironic is that, and what can he do about it?
I think you summed up the tragedy of Recep Tayyip Erdogan right there. I think when Recep Tayyip Erdogan and his Justice and Development Party, known through the initials of AKP, first came to power in 2002, they came to power with very much an inclusive message about reaching out to Turkey's minorities, particularly the Kurds, and redefining and redirecting Turkey not only within the country, but also regionally. Erdogan very much was a proponent of a zero-problems foreign policy in which he wanted to have good relations with all of his neighbors, Syria, Iraq, Iran. And he wanted to place Turkey as a regional leader. He really relished the Arab Spring in 2011 when Washington and a lot of the European states really came to him. Unfortunately, over the past several years, that has changed, and Erdogan has taken much more of a domestic focus in which he is very bent on power. What Recep Tayyip Erdogan wants right now is to change Turkey's parliamentary system into a presidential one. He's currently Turkey's president. He would like to change Turkey's constitution in which it's the president that has control over the government and in which he would have unprecedented powers.
I never get tired of reminding people that a huge political power broker in Turkish politics lives in the United States, in rural Pennsylvania. How has that played on the domestic agenda and the domestic issues? How is that playing on the streets?
The individual that you're talking about is Fethullah Gulen. And for a long time, Fethullah Gulen was a supporter of Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Unfortunately, over the past several years, they have had a falling out. And there has been quite a vituperative result between the Erdogan supporters and the Gulen supporters, and a great fissure there. I think on a broader scale, I think that fight is much more demonstrative of what Erdogan has become. Erdogan has switched from being this leader that he had promised the Turkish people to be, that he would represent the unrepresented, what he calls the Black Turks. And he did. Under the AKP, Turkey's economy has grown. It is now in the G20. Unfortunately, over the past several years, Erdogan has switched his focus to garnering his own power. He has abandoned his not only his foreign policy, but this focus of reshaping Turkey into a democratic Western power.
Very quickly, Elmira, he wants help from NATO. He wants help from the EU. Is he going to get it?
I think Erdogan has adopted this brandish style of being so, you know, flippant towards Washington and taking on this swagger in the Middle East because he knows that Washington and the Western allies really do depend on Turkey. Turkey is really one of the second of the democratic countries in the Middle East. It's in a very dangerous neighborhood. I think the Western allies really depend on Turkey. And so a lot of Erdogan's actions are a result of the fact that he knows that Washington and the Western allies, they can't turn their back on Turkey.
Elmira Beyzrali is an author and foreign policy analyst who's just returned from Istanbul. Elmira, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, John.